In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for this eighth Sunday after Holy Trinity, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the seventh chapter, beginning at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord preaches his great Sermon on the Mount so obviously right in the wisdom his mouth declares. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Such are the truths our Lord speaks. They're simple. They're obviously true. And yet they are also impossible. We cannot do the things he says. We faithfully cling to God and faithlessly cling to the things of this world, all at the same time. Indeed, we are, as Father Luther said, simil justus et peccator, at once both saints and sinners. We regret yesterday as though maybe we're really not forgiven. And then we take lots of thoughts about tomorrow, doubting that our Heavenly Father will deliver the things that we need. We know that the word of the Lord is right, and yet we know we can't keep it. We know our own weaknesses in trusting it. So our Lord's words of comforting, helpful counsel become stinging words of law, condemning us for our manifold failures to think and to live in the obviously right way. But these words are also, in a backhanded way, words of gospel. Words that describe to us how our sinless Jesus actually is. Words that reveal the sinless life that he lives for us. A life that he lived so he could offer that life as a sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and ultimately give us credit for his sinless perfection. Some of our Lord's words are sorely misunderstood and so commonly so that I must warn you against the misunderstanding. Chapter 7 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the chapter that this morning's text comes from, begins with the words, "Judge not, that you be not judged." I am given to understand that this verse has now overtaken John 3:16 as the most widely known from memory verse in the whole Bible. Yet our Lord tells us in the opening words of this morning's text, "Beware of false prophets." Well, how are you going to keep your distance from false prophets if you don't make some sort of a judgment concerning who is and who is not a false prophet? Chrysostom, I read several different passages from him as I was working on this morning's sermon. He distinguishes between the dogs and the swine. "Do not give that which is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine." He distinguishes between dogs and swine on the one hand, and these false prophets, these wolves in sheep's clothing on the other. Dogs and swine act like dogs and swine. They look like dogs and swine. They have nothing but contempt for the word of the Lord, and they're very open about that. Wolves in sheep's clothing, well, they're deceptive. They come to you saying, "Behold, I'm a sheep." When our Lord commands us not to judge, He is commanding us not to use our own personal, fallen, sinful, selfish judgments. In fact, it's precisely those kind of people that are attracted to these false prophets, to these men who, and sometimes women, who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. We are not to skew justice in favor of those who are beautiful or powerful or wealthy or who we think could be of personal benefit to us in some way. We are not to cling to and believe those who speak soft words that are easy to hear, so inclusive of everybody that they inspire nobody. What we not only may, but must do, is receive the teaching of God's holy word, including those words that are very directive about the need to make certain judgments. Dear ones in Christ Jesus, the first judgment I would invite you to make for the benefit of your own salvation is a judgment against salvation-destroying pluralism and relativism. This is the attitude, the philosophy, the belief that all religious views are equally true and equally false. And so the question isn't really, is it the truth? But, as Dr. Phil would ask, how's that working for you? Whatever gets you through the day is truth for you, some would say. Jesus is very clear. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Christianity isn't all about giving you good advice for how to get along in this world. It's about getting you into heaven when you die. And beware of the false prophet who would lure you away from everlasting life by preaching to you a gospel of good temporal life advice instead. Of course, our Lord's words can be almost as troubling as they are comforting and clarifying. Saying, "Lord, Lord," doesn't get the job done. Those who do the will of the Father in heaven will get to enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is the will of God? It's a critical question. I suppose we all too easily dive straight into the second table of the law. Respect authority. Care about your neighbor's physical well-being. Be sexually pure. I would admonish our society today that yes, that one is still in there. Be honest in financial dealings. Be careful with other people's reputations. Don't covet. And we can start there, even though it's the second table of the law. Are you doing the will of God in all of these areas? Are you doing a really, honestly, perfectly sinless job of it? If heaven is for those who do the will of the Father in heaven, wouldn't even the second table of the law declare that all of us are not eligible? It does indeed. And if you don't think so, you're either not understanding the commandments of our Lord correctly, or you're not looking very honestly at your own life. As far as our own righteousness is concerned, we can't even keep the second table of the law. But if we think in this way, we've already made a very popular mistake when it comes to the right interpretation of Holy Scripture. We have made the mistake of hearing this phrase of doing the will of my Father in heaven as pure moralism, as though Jesus meant nothing more than play well with others. Jesus is in fact saying something that has even more to do with the first table of the law, with being right before God. To have no other gods is to make of the only true and living God, the Holy Trinity, the most important thing in your life. If anything else is more important, that's your God. Not taking his name in vain means so much more than being careful of what comes out when you're angry or hurt or frustrated. There are a couple of places where I sometimes get to listen to the prayers of people outside of our congregation and confession. Often the prayer starts with, "O God," and ends with, "Amen." And from the contents of everything in between those two words, it is completely unclear what God was even being prayed to. Other times it's Lord, again without reference to Christ, and one is left to wonder what Lord is being invoked. But to further drive home the point, When people pray these prayers of, Lord, it's such a nice day, Lord, and Lord, please watch over us, Lord, and Lord, please, you know, bless our dogs and cats or whatever. The Lord isn't ADD. You don't need to keep saying His name or title every five or six words to make sure He's still paying attention. Of course, as the Scriptures say, we do not know how to pray as we ought. That doesn't mean we can't be a little devotionally thoughtful about what we say in prayer. A good start would be to listen to the collects of the church, to memorize the prayers that your small catechism gives you, and to pray the Psalms. Let this pattern of sound words inform your mind and your mouth as you speak to the Lord in prayer. Be careful not to use the Lord's name vainly, even when praying. Let your prayers reflect your faithfulness also to the third commandment, to holding every word of God's holy word sacred. Let your prayers reflect that you have been much about gladly hearing and learning it. It is a false prophet who will tell you that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you believe in Jesus. Believe me, I understand what it's like to watch a child forsake the vows they made at confirmation. Vows to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this faith. And I understand that it would be of some comfort to see them go to something Christian and then to say, well, it's not confessional Lutheran, but at least they're going to church. Nevertheless, there's a reason our Lord spoke every word of the Holy Scriptures. It is nothing short of an insult to God's kindness in speaking those words and in causing those words to be written to turn around and tell him or others or ourselves that most of the Bible is not all that important. There are really only a handful of points in the whole of Scripture that really matter. Every word that God speaks to you, He speaks to you for the salvation of your soul. God grant us indeed gladly to hear those words, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. God grant us to value His word, to value it as we treasure our own salvation, to believe what it teaches, and to reject every false doctrine that contradicts what it says. That is what a true prophet will tell you to do. The path of least resistance is this live and let live. None of this even matters all that much. False doctrine that makes it easier to drive around in the car with your unbelieving or heterodox family member. That's what a false prophet will teach. Beware of false prophets. Cling to those who teach you the whole counsel of God. The gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ in all its articles. Cling to those who teach you what the Word of God says, rather than, as you were warned against in this morning's Old Testament reading, those who would preach to you their own dreams and visions and whatever it is that they feel in their hearts is right. Cling to those who teach the Word. Cling to those whose teaching bears the fruits that most matter, the fruits of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I remember at one point, some time ago, a high official in another Lutheran church body boldly declared, "This isn't your grandfather's church." And my immediate thought was, my grandfather's church got my grandfather into heaven. Let's have that one back, please. Jesus warns that false prophets who claim to have spoken in His name and even who have cast out demons in His name, to them He will say, "Depart from me." So too, to those who have believed their false and demonic doctrines. Doctrines such as you can save yourself by your own efforts. Jesus was really just a great man. Or, it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you're a good person. Those are faith-destroying, damnable, false doctrines. Dear ones in Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, true God from all eternity, assumed our human flesh so to redeem us, to live a perfect life for us, to offer that perfect life up on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sin, to rise gloriously from the dead, that we might see that the wages of sin have been paid, that that payment has been received by the Lord, by our Heavenly Father, that our sin is atoned for. And every word of the Holy Scriptures was breathed by God the Holy Spirit, so that you would know Christ Jesus and be separated from Him by no false doctrine. Hear our Lord's word of law. You are sinners in need of a Savior. Come to Sunday morning Bible class. We're getting an extra dose of that right now. Repent and receive the blood-bought salvation of the incarnate God, your Lord Jesus Christ. For the gospel is this, that your sins really are forgiven you, as that forgiveness is delivered to you personally in word and sacrament. And God the Holy Spirit has graciously given you the gift of His word, that by means of that word, everlasting life would be given you and preserved unto you. The will of the Father for you is, as we read in the Gospel according to St. John, that you would believe in the gift of His Son. And the Father has given you the Holy Spirit to enable you to believe what you could not have believed by your own reason or strength. By that same Spirit, you call out, Abba, Father, as we heard in the epistle, faithfully rejoicing that yours shall be the eternal inheritance of sons. God, the Holy Trinity, has done all things necessary for you and your salvation. Jesus has done the will of the Father perfectly in your behalf. No lawlessness here. No pretending certain sins don't matter or no sins matter very much. Rather, complete obedience to the law, accomplished in our behalf, delivered to you as a free, blood-bought gift. You do nothing but receive, and therefore, again, referring to our epistle, there is nothing you need to fear. No bondage of concern that you need to harbor about your own inadequacy. It is by grace alone that you have been saved, through faith alone, in the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't depend on you. And so, you are heirs, and you may be confident that you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.